Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. You know, many times we can walk into a church or a new environment and see people worshiping, and we don't necessarily understand exactly what's going on, or maybe it looks very different than what we've seen before. And we literally look around, I find, and ask ourselves, well, what's this all about? The way some people sing or they dance or they carry on, sometimes it doesn't make sense to us, and we can be left with a lot of questions. So we've been on this series called Worship, What's the Point? Somebody say that with me. Worship, what's the point? And so we've been asking some great questions, and it's been so powerful. If you've missed it, you can go back on the podcast and listen, because I believe there's something really special about worship. And today I want to talk about specifically why we worship God in difficult moments. So why do we do that? Why do we worship God in difficult moments?
I'm learning that you worship God in difficult moments because it's what keeps you going. Despite how hard it may be, despite how you're feeling, worshiping God allows everything you're going through to just be at ease. In those moments, it is hard to worship. It's hard to put on your worship music, pray. But when you do it, you press through. It allows every yoke to be destroyed. It allows every feeling that you're feeling that is not of God to just be wiped away.
I love that. And we all worship God for different reasons in those difficult moments. What would you say, Brittany, to that same question? Why do you find that there's value in worshiping God in difficult moments?
For me, it's where you gain your strength. It's also a cry of help to the Father. When you don't have nothing else to give or you just feel low, that's where your help, your strength, it comes from Him. So that's what I would say about that.
You know, I love what Scripture says in Psalm 34:1. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will consistently speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. I love that part. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together. I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. You know, I think right here we can see that this is why as Christians, we need to condition ourselves to, when we get into difficult moments of our lives, to worship God. You know, it's like working out. Sometimes you love it, sometimes you don't love it, but you do it as a discipline, and you do it consistently. When we consistently praise the Lord, there are benefits. You know, I know we worship the Lord for other reasons as well, but there are some specific benefits that we come into when we worship and we praise God. Some of us worship God, it's like a celebration, and some of our worship is like a prayer. And I love this thought process of this scripture, and it takes us from praising God at all times to He answers prayers. I will praise God at all times. Just wrap your head around this for a second. I will praise God at all times, and it ends with, and He answers my prayers. The end result of me having consistency in my lifestyle of worshiping God is that prayers are answered. So when we really worship, we set an atmosphere for answered prayers. Worship sets the atmosphere for answered prayers.
Yeah, I like to say when you come in with an expectation, when you come in with faith that God is going to move on your behalf, whatever the situation is, He can truly answer your prayers. And I want to mention, there was a live recording of a song by a group called Israel New Breed. It says the atmosphere of shifting things, the atmosphere brings about miracles. The atmosphere of expectation and faith brings about miracles. So when we come in with that faith, when we come in with that expectation that God is going to move, I believe He surely can. And also, when we remember the God that we serve, His character, right? That He's faithful, that He's a healer, that He's a provider. We say all these things. He's everything. When we have that as a mindset with our faith and expectation, I believe that is the formula for answer prayers.
You know, it's so good because, you know, they see you guys up here week in and week out doing music, and music sets an atmosphere. So what type of atmosphere are we setting? What a better type of atmosphere to set than an atmosphere that prayers are answered?
I would say when you put on your worship music, I remember in February I had a meeting with my boss, and I had put my worship music on very low, so if you were quiet, you could hear it. But when you were talking, you couldn't hear it. And I remember praying before I walked in that meeting for it to go smooth and to be heard, because I wanted what I was saying to be heard because it was the right thing in that moment. And I remember walking into that meeting like, I'm just going to keep my worship music on. And I kept it at the lowest volume you can keep it. But when I tell you, when I walked out of that office, the atmosphere was shifted.
You know, really, when we talk about worship, you know, what's the point? One of the points to me is that we were created. We were designed to do this, right? And we are commanded by God to worship. So I find when we do what we're designed to do and commanded to do, things just go better, right? And like the meeting that you're talking about, like important moments of our life. When we do what we were designed to do, when we do what we are created and commanded to do, things just go better in life. Psalm 156 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's like, hey, let us kind of get this concept out there that even beyond just us as human beings, like the whole creation, everything that's breathing, everything that has life in it, is supposed to give back glory to God, give back praise somehow to God. And so this psalm is showing us that everything, every created thing has a responsibility. And I think that's such a powerful thought, that creation must answer back to God with praise, worship, and honor. You know, there's one moment that Jesus came into town, and there was some criticism going on about the praise and worship that was taking place. And Jesus said, listen, if these people don't do it, the very rocks will cry out. So something will be, there will be an imbalance in nature, because the creation is supposed to give back praise, worship, and honor. So it's there's one reason, is it's simple. He deserves it. And so as he creates, we're giving back to him honor, and we're giving back to him worship.
My grandma will say, when you think about the goodness of God, but when you are at the age where you can understand that saying, in the moment of worship, when you think about the goodness of God, despite what's going on, when you walk through that door, you could have had the worst morning, but when you get in the presence of God, everything changes. It's a peace that just comes over you that you can't explain. And it's just saying, God, thank you that even on my bad days, you are good. That despite my situation, God, you are good. I honor you. I worship you. And I just give you praise.
Yeah, that's so good.
I also like to add to that, too. When you really get into the presence of the Lord and just create that atmosphere of worship, there's a beautiful exchange that is happening.
Yes.
So we sang earlier, let's lift a praise. As it goes up, the blessings come down, right? So there's an exchange happening. But I believe it's as much as you want. Do you really want to receive what God has for you? And we charge you guys. We try to declare, like, press in, go deeper, because God really wants to release some things over you. And we just want to go deeper. We want to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for us. And then a comment regarding creation. We see it every day. The sun is shining. The trees are going back and forth. If you go to the ocean, the waves are crashing, rising and falling to the shoreline. That's all giving praise back to God, because that's all his creation. What more of us that we actually have his breath in our lungs? So he's worthy of the praise. We have his breath in our lungs, so we can pour it back out to him. Amen.
I love that. But then we go through difficult seasons, right? So we understand that as a principle, like we're supposed to give that honor, give that praise back to him. But then we go through difficult seasons, and seasons that are not so easy to praise God. Has anybody in this room ever been through a difficult season that it was difficult to lift your hands, or it was difficult to sing a song about God because you were in a difficult spot? And I think there's times that we go through and we don't feel like worshiping. We don't feel like praising or honoring God. What What do you do when you're in that place?
I reach out to those who I know would cover me. Because when you don't have the words, a text message, hey, can you pray for me? Or you just put that worship music on. You may have blanked out, don't hear the words, but when it's playing in the background, it's that unconsciousness that you are still hearing what's going on. And when you go before and say, can you pray for me? Can you cover me? It allows that worship. Even you may not be in that moment by yourself, but your prayer partners, those who are in covenant with, they're covering you. And when you just put yourself to the side, something just happens. So it's pushing through. When you text those questions, Kennard and I was at his oncologist, and I was like, okay, God, you know I didn't want to hear bad news today. And he did just that.
So, you know, how are you dealing with being able to, in difficult moments, you know, I think this is important for us to see, you know, because I think a lot of times there can be an assumption that we're always excited to do what we do, right, and lead people in praise and worship. Have you ever been on the stage and led praise and worship and you did not feel like worshiping that day?
Yes, especially it was when we got the news about Kennard, it was Good Friday, and I had to come sing. And I was just like, God, I don't want to be here. I'm broken. I'm hurt. But when you show up every Sunday, and people are like, I've been blessed by you, and I'm just like, God, I have nothing in me. I am empty. But if you fill me to fill this place, I'll keep doing it.
And when we empty ourselves out, that's the point at which God begins to fill us back up. Same question to you.
Yeah, I actually remember there was a time when I came one Sunday, and it was with you, Pastor Corinne, and I think another vocalist. I had a moment of transparency. I'm like, I'm not in a good mood. I don't feel like worshiping today. And I think when you're really transparent, when you're honest, because you have to be honest with yourself. You can't pretend. And God is not afraid. He's not intimidated by our emotions, our feelings. However, you get to this place that you just have to trust and notice that, all right, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And then when you think about his people and the purpose of the kingdom, right? You just have to put yourself to the side. Yes, be transparent, and then remember the true purpose, which is Jesus. So you put yourself to the side, and then he's able to take over. You acknowledge, like, I can't do this on my own. We can't rely on self-sufficiency. You put yourself to the side and just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Like, there's a reason why we keep saying, Holy Spirit, have your way. Because he can only do what only he can do. He can move in ways that we can't in our own human flesh form, right? So I just had to be like, okay, Holy Spirit, have your way. And funny enough, in those times that I feel like I don't want to worship, I don't want to live for praise, yes, are the best moments that the Holy Spirit moves so powerfully, so mightily. Because I just put myself to the side. I remember who he is. He has first place. And he just do whatever it is he has to do.
God responds to our brokenness. You know, scripture actually tells us that he's close to those with a broken, contrite spirit. And so I find, you know, you talked about just being in a bad place. You talk about being in a broken place and being empty. Me and Pastor Corinne have been in places where seasons that we're like, man, I'm just kind of feel indifferent in this season. And it's not like I do or I don't. I just feel like, meh. And you get up and say, God, I want to worship regardless of how I feel right now in this moment. You know, so for each of us, it might be something different in different seasons. Like, you might be broken. You might be like, I'm just in a bad place or I'm in a bad mood. For others, you might feel like indifferent. But when we consistently praise the Lord, when I bless the Lord at all times, I find that He comes through in the most profound ways. I find that prayers are answered, and he fills us back up. And what we see in Scripture is as we come to Christ and we belong to God, we have a special designation. As we come to Christ and we fit back into God, so right, I'm dedicating my life back to Christ, I'm beginning to fit back into God, and I'm welcomed into His family, I begin to understand who I am. I begin to understand my identity. And worship is about understanding our identity and function. You know, part of our identity and function is worship, and it's so brilliantly expressed right here in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we're chosen, we're royalty, we're holy, which means we're set apart for a special purpose, and we were meant to proclaim praises of Him that called us out of darkness. You know, I like to, you know, cheer for favorite sports teams, and but we were actually designed to proclaim praises of Him that called us out of darkness into light. So the loudest cheers, the greatest praise should go to the one that called us out of darkness into this amazing light. And so there's responsibility, there's part of a responsibility of our identity in God and our function, you know, within this new identity. What does 1 Peter 2:9 mean to you?
For me, if you know me, you know, leading worship isn't something I want or need to do.
You hide from it. Yes, I know.
I do. But when God has chosen you for something, no matter how much you run from it, it comes back. So I'm at the place where, like, if you come to me or Johnny, I'm like, okay, God, help me, because when you walk in your calling, everything else around you fall into place.
First Peter 2:9.
Yes, for me, that royalty word, royalty. I have a great inheritance. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. Yes, so taking on that